Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Do a very sharp turn, and those of you waiting on the phone, you may patiently wait, and we may try to get to your calls a little bit later in the broadcast. But this is a time when so many of us are looking for diversions. We're looking for ways to occupy our time, to entertain, and to just shows to binge watch sometimes. And I've already made a confession to you some days ago. I told you that one of the shows that I've really enjoyed watching, and I have been binge watching this show with help from my DVR, is the show Cheaters. For those of you not familiar, this is a show where basically people who have suspicions that their significant other may be unfaithful, they call in the show to investigate. So the investigators will follow the person around by various means and see if this person indeed is being faithful or unfaithful. And then they have a confrontation, and then we find out at the end what happens in that relationship. This is, I've got to tell you, it's really good television. And for that reason, I decided to reach out to the host of the show to join us on the broadcast today. Welcome, Joey Greco, to the Vince Coakley radio program. Good morning, sir.
How are you, Vince? Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, glad to have you here. And I was quite intrigued when I did a little research into who you are and your background. It was really not surprising at all to find out some aspects of your life, especially as it relates to your psychology background, your counseling background, because it may be an overstatement to say this. There's almost like a pastoral presence that you bring to the show. Is that intentional?
Well, I will say that my experiences up until that point, just educationally and just with life, kind of created the perfect storm for that job and that opportunity. Actually, my father was a minister. When I looked at the show, when I auditioned for it initially, and it had a certain vibe that I just went, it's great, it's entertaining, as you said. However, I didn't feel that I felt that we could be more responsible with how we handled those types of situations. And I'm certain that influenced my approach.
Well, I can certainly see it in the way you engage people on there. For those people not familiar with the show, how do you describe this show and what it does? There are people who would just look at this, this is really kind of putting people on blast who are making some really horrible mistakes with their lives. How would you characterize the show Cheaters?
Well, the way that I best would describe it, because I've certainly been accused of a lot of things, and among them, breaking up happy homes. And my first question would be, well, tell me who was happy there.
Right.
Because there's an issue. And this kind of goes back to, psychology and counseling background, which is, all right, this is the issue. This is the problem. What's keeping the problem? Are you treating the issue or are you treating the symptom? So let's forget about the symptom and let's dig deeper and try to get involved. And in that, we learn more about the stories of the individuals, and through that, hopefully get greater insight into where they're coming from, but also get equipped in ways that they might resolve the divide between them, the communication between them, And that doesn't mean they're always going to stay together, but at least, you know, you were at a point at one time in your relationship where you thought the world of one another. What happened along the way? You're still people. You can still respect one another. You don't have to always agree, but at least let's treat each other with respect. I mean, that's kind of my...
We're talking with Joey Greco, who's the host of Cheaters, and you've been doing this for a long time. There was a season where you did not do the show. Rest his soul, Clark Gable III did a couple of seasons. What has kept you doing this for so long?
Well, actually, after my tenure, then Clark did, I think, 3 years, and then, you know, his unfortunate passing was year before last, and if there are any fans out there, you would be encouraged to know that the show is being rebooted, and, should be back on the air with new episodes in this fall. I won't be involved at this point, but I think you should see a bright new, I don't want to say bright new, but you should see changes concurrent with where we are right now in society, and just a new look and a new face. So, what kept me, and that really didn't answer your question, Vince, I apologize. What kept me doing it, I don't know. It's just one of those things that you get involved in it, and you see the impact that you can have, not just on the people you're dealing with, but how you can influence people's opinions and impressions and how they live their life. And, you know, life is hard enough without complications. Let's see if we can equip people with another thought or another process to make better decisions.
Absolutely. We only have about a minute left here. Is there any particular episode that stands out to you that you still think about after all these years?
One of my favorites, there was a, I think his name was Chester, There was a guy that would take a young lady out to a field, a pasture, where he had livestock and horses. And this young lady wasn't his girlfriend. And we were sneaking through this pasture at night, because he would take her out at night. And they had a little campfire, but everything else was pitch dark because it's in the middle of nowhere. Well, you know, we have a crew of about 30 people. So here are 30 people creeping through the pasture in the dark, and then they started to hear something. The horses started running around because they were just kind of free grazing right around that area. And then we turned all the lights on, and he was running around with his horse whip, hitting cameramen. He was such an interesting character because, his, you know, as one might expect, he didn't have his pants on.
My goodness. Joey Greco, we've got a hard break here. If you can hold on with us, we wanted to just carry you through one more segment here. Stay with us, folks. Continue our conversation with Joey Greco, who has been made famous by the show Cheaters. I wanted to ask you before you go here, if there's anything you want us to be aware of. What's next for Joey Greco with another host coming in the fall? Is there a place we may see you, another forum where you will continue your skills?
Well, there's always something brewing, nothing to announce yet. I work in real estate, and that's one of the things that throughout the course of my entertainment career, I've always kept that going in the background for good reason, because we all know how steady entertainment works.
Isn't that the truth?
But in any case, that's what I'm focused on. Now, the next project may have a real estate-related bent to it, but anyone can keep up and follow any of my escapades or lack of them at the Joey Greco, and that's both my Twitter and my Instagram handle.
All right.
Thanks for the attention and reaching out, Vince, and continued success.
Hey, terrific. Thanks a lot for coming on the broadcast today. Joey Greco from Cheaters. By the way, one of the things that this show to me is an interesting experiment in human psychology. And I'm serious. I watch this and I'm thinking to myself, by the time they get to the confrontation, I'd be very curious to see how accurate I am. But a good part of the time, I'm just thinking to myself, please just walk away. I mean, I'm serious. If you've got somebody who has been caught red-handed cheating, and that person is cold as ice, or they're laughing, I mean, just walk away. It blows my mind that some of these folks, I don't understand how people live that way. How can you find something like that funny? But some apparently do. I mean, I saw one scene. This guy, he's caught in the act. And, you know, Joey asked the question. It's like, you know, are you going to take care of it? By the way, the girlfriend that he just cheated on is pregnant. Were you going to take care of your child? Yeah, I'll take care of the child. Well, what kind of example are you going to be? Well, I want him to be just like me. I'm thinking to myself, God forbid. I'm serious. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, I've heard Rush refer to a lot of these talk shows as the Museum of Societal Decay. Well, I think this has been another one. I'd love to get your thoughts as to whether anybody else is crazy and watches something as insane as this program as I do. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Other things to talk about here. I was really blown away when I saw this story. And I think I first became aware of this story in our neighborhood post. What is that neighborhood thing called? It's a program next door, I think is what it's called. This is where I first became familiar with this story. About the 15-year-old boy charged in a violent carjacking. A woman was dragged in a gas station parking lot. This happened at the Circle K on Concord Mills Boulevard. 15-year-old suspect charged with robbery with a dangerous weapon. Teen got out of a stolen car, forced the victim out of her vehicle at gunpoint, drug her a short distance. Now, police located the stolen vehicle, attempted to stop it when the suspect fled. There was a chase. The teen lost control, crashed into another vehicle, fled on foot. And it's not just crazy. This 15-year-old, six other juveniles, 13 to 15, charged as accomplices. This is crazy. Teenagers. I mean, we've all heard about juvenile delinquency, and in one sense, this is not new, but really? It's just really sad. Very sad. And it is sobering to me, especially when, as I described it, it's something that happens close by, pretty much around the corner from home. Love to get your thoughts on the things we've discussed thus far. A number of you very patiently waiting on the phones here. Let's go first to the sprawling metropolis of Gastonia and Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ben. So two things I want to bring up real quick. One about the whole Joe Biden thing. You know, I understand people are outraged. Hey, they're saying, oh, you can't treat Joe Biden like that. But where's the outrage when the media and pundits treat Donald Trump? He's the orange man. He's overweight. He's a dumb goof. It's the same stuff they said about George W. Bush when he was in office. One more point. On Monday's show, you said there was a social media friend of yours that compared Donald Trump to a ape or
chimpanzee
or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you said, man, if that ever happened, if that was, if the roles were reversed, man, that it would be all over the news. But remember, the roles were reversed. It happened to Roseanne Barr. She lost her show, lost everything when she compared Valerie Jarrett to a chimpanzee or whatever it was.
Yeah, this is how it works. It all depends on who you make fun of, right? That's
well, absolutely. And my the people I say, if you think this stuff is going to be done and over with after Trump's out of office, it's just beginning. Because right now he's the target, but when he's gone, who's going to be the next target?
That's the only question. Who will be the next target? Hey, appreciate your call, Mark. Some interesting insights there. I hope I pronounce this correctly. Is this Adriana out of Gastonia?
Andriana.
Beautiful name there. I love the way you say it. Can you say it one more time? Because it's
Andriana.
Oh, there you go. Wow, that sounds really exotic. Go right ahead with your call.
I would like to say, sir, about Floyd. He died the way he lived. He pulled a gun and a woman's belly. She was pregnant. No mercy for this guy. I don't care what everybody says. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not good. Maybe I'm not a good woman, but I will never, never care forgive him what he done to that woman. And she was a black woman. Shame on him. I don't care how he died. He died the way he lived. Thank you.
Wow. That's a pretty strong perspective there. And I understand where you're coming from, that just it's all so unfortunate all the way around. Let's go out to Bill in Charlotte. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right, sir.
Yeah, I was I dropped in on the conversation on the deceased George Floyd, and I saw pieces and parts of that. But what I did a long time, a good while back, I went back and looked online at the regulations for the police in that area. And it does give them the instructions to put the knee on the neck, which I was surprised. It is in print. I know some other police departments have since removed that practice, but that was in practice. And that's
yes.
What shocked me.
Yes.
And, you know, there is no real Mayberry or Andy Griffith's show. It's hard to be like that. I'm a teacher, and years ago I said, I think I want to ride with some policemen and, you know, see what things are going, what's going on, or maybe I'll do some law enforcement. The guy said to me, look, you don't need to do that. This will harden you. A police officer told me this. He said, you deal with criminals and people that are, you can't trust their word, they'll lie to your face. He says, you just need to stay away from that because it will harden you. And I'm afraid that one is, well, we people talk about the fact that we have delayed adolescence in our society. Okay, that's a factor. Then you've got people that are really gung-ho. I've got all this authority.
We're out of time here, but I think we have taken your point well here. Thanks very much for your call there, Bill. Broadcast here. An interesting study in light of what we were sharing earlier about media. We have this from the AP, the distrust many Americans feel toward the news media, caught up like much of the nation's problems in the partisan divide, only seems to be getting worse. This is the conclusion of a sobering study of attitudes toward the press conducted by Knight Foundation and Gallup. It was released yesterday. Nearly half of all Americans describe the news media as very biased. John Sands, director of learning and impact at the Knight Foundation, said that's a very bad thing for democracy. You think? Our concern is when half of Americans have some sort of doubt about the veracity of the news they consume, it's going to be impossible for our democracy to function. This is where we are, folks. I don't think you'll be surprised by some of the findings from this. 8% of respondents, get a load of this, 8%, the preponderance of them politically conservative, think news media that they distrust are trying to ruin the country. Only 8%. That kind of surprised me. But here's where there really are few surprises. The study found 71% of Republicans have a very or somewhat unfavorable opinion of the news media. 22% of Democrats feel that way. Switch it around, 54% of Democrats have a very favorable view of the media. 13% of Republicans feel that way. Isn't it interesting that Democrats are apparently quite content? Quite content with the way the media performs. It shouldn't be surprising at all. But anyway, a new study basically pointing out what many of us already knew. Another random thought to consider. Craig posted this on social media. And we have this developing story we should tell you about. The Associated Press is reporting that Biden is not going to travel to the Democrat National Convention in Milwaukee to accept the presidential nomination. He's not going. All righty. Also, UConn, the Huskies, they have canceled their entire football season. Just never know what news stories are going to develop during the course of this broadcast. Anyway, I'll get to that quote. I came across on social media, a friend of mine posted this late last night. When things are illogical, confusing, and seem upside down, that is where Lucifer dwells. And he's having a banner year. Isn't that the truth? Anybody want to argue against that point? My goodness. Let's go out to York and Joe on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Thank you, Vince. There's a lot of stuff going on because children are not disciplined when they're brought up. Psychologists say don't do it, it harms. Well, they don't know. They don't learn right from wrong, and that's behind a lot of this stuff. And the psychiatrists are totally wrong, even though they're considered scientists. I'm a scientist, and I consider what they say is wrong because you learn from your mistakes. You learn more from your mistakes than you do from your successes because you found out a lot about what doesn't work and what you shouldn't even try. And so I blame the press and this modern way of thinking that they're teaching in the school systems that don't listen to your parents who have gone through a lot of mistakes and corrected them and trying to pass on that knowledge to their children. This is insane what the government's trying to do. They want to take over control of your children, and if anyone makes mistakes, don't worry about it. The government will pay for it. Where does the government get their money? They get it from the taxpayer.
Of course they do.
The taxpayer.
Yeah.
The taxpayer is now a slave.
Yep, this is how it works, and these folks really know a whole lot about parenting, don't they, Joe? This is one of the frustrations to see the big government and how it attempts to basically undermine parents. You know, ideally, as he's describing there, ideally we do learn from our mistakes. Unfortunately, there are people who carry out the same mistakes over and over again without learning anything of consequence. Tony in Indian Trail, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Vince?
All right, sir.
Yeah, I was just kind of trying to figure out how these elementary school students that are going to be back in school, how are they going to learn with wearing masks? And you know, those young kids are, it's hard to keep their attention anyway, but with the mask on and this type of things happening, I don't think it's going to work.
What's the solution? I mean, because I don't know about you, Tony, but I don't see things returning to anything resembling normal anytime in the near future.
No, it's going to be quite a while. You know, the thing about it is, man, you know, America, she's just going to have to get on her knees and pray because the Lord is letting you see who has the power. And it's not these billionaires. It's not the president. It's not all these other people that hold these offices. None. He's letting them see that, but they will not recognize that. And so until they recognize that, they're going to continue to suffer, and it's going to get worse.
Unfortunately, I think you're probably right. I don't doubt that at all. So we have some major adjustments to make. The question is how well we will deal with these situations. Tony, very much appreciate your call. By the way, on the coronavirus subject, I have a friend in the aviation industry, and I just happened to be up in the middle of the night the other night, and this friend saw that I was still awake too, sent me a message, hey, I've been quarantined for the last 2 weeks. Was telling me about his experience and has been grounded all of that time, of course, not able to work. But yesterday, he sent something to me that I thought was quite intriguing. It is basically a letter that clears him. I think this is what he has to provide to his employer. It's a letter that clears him of this virus. It has three items. The result of the test is negative. Great thing to see. IgG positive. And this confirms that there are antibodies that indicate that he has overcome the virus. So this is a letter. And I'm curious, who else is doing this? I'd be very curious to find out locally. Final stretch of the broadcast on this Wednesday as we travel down to our upstate studio. Our good friend Lonzo answering a few questions for our look at the day in history. How are you doing today, sir?
I am raring to go.
Raring to go. Well, let's begin in 1858. This was essential in communications between the old world and the new world. And this link was completed in 1858, what was it? Communication.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking phone line.
Yes.
Okay.
What is it called? That's a special name.
I don't know.
We should actually give it to you. It's transatlantic cable.
Okay, all right.
The first one was completed in 1858. 1909, as you know, everybody is taxed. Individuals are taxed. But in 1909, Congress first passed the first tax on this type of entity.
Business tax?
We will give that to you. Corporations for the very first time, 1909.
Wow, my vague answering is paying off.
1914, these are annoying, you know, especially if you are one of these.
So it's not Democrats.
One of these. Oh, boy, that was a nice dig. For those of you who have, like Lonzo, have very nice sports cars, you want to just keep driving. You don't want to stop. So this was not a good development in 1914 when the first of these were installed in Cleveland, Ohio. What were they?
Stoplights.
Yes, first traffic lights put up in Cleveland. 1962, this actress passed away, and the circumstances of that death still a mystery to this day.
Was she on a boat?
On a boat? I don't think it was on a boat. This person is known for her singing.
Marilyn Monroe.
Happy. Yeah, there you go.
I was thinking Natalie Wood, but that may have happened later.
Yes, that would have been later on. 1974, this president admitted to ordering a cover up of the Watergate break in for political and national security reasons.
Nixon.
Who would that person be? Tricky Dick, indeed. Richard Nixon is absolutely correct. And that's all of our questions. I came across this story and I thought, this is kind of crazy. But I can't say it surprises me at all. As you know, the government's made all kinds of funds available for relief for individuals and for businesses. Well, as you know, there's always somebody who abuses those particular funds. Case in point, Florida man has been charged with obtaining $3.9 million in Paycheck Protection Program loans, and he used the money to buy a sports car and other luxury items in Miami Beach. Get a load of this. So the U.S. Department of Justice said a criminal complaint was made against 29-year-old David Hines of Miami, Florida. It alleges Hines sought approximately $13.5 million in PPP loans on behalf of different companies and made numerous false statements to do so. So he was approved. He was awarded $3.9 million in loans. So what did he do with this money? Within days of receiving the money, he purchased a 2020 Lamborghini sports car. You know how much this car cost, Lonzo?
I'm going to go $800,000.
Well, not that much. $318,000.
You must have got the low-end model.
Yeah, exactly. Also made some purchases at luxury stores and resorts in Miami Beach. Not surprisingly, authorities have seized that Lamborghini, and they've taken the money out of various bank accounts. But
so you scammed the government. The first thing you do is go out and buy a Lamborghini. That's really smart. You get away with it, and then you go do something like that. I mean,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, put the money in the offshore accounts. Haven't you ever watched a movie and then use it later or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy. By the way, this is not the first time that he's had trouble with the law. According to NBC6, he was charged in 2018 for resisting arrest. Get a load of this police report. According to police, Hines flagged down an officer to say his girlfriend stole his Lamborghini. So this guy has apparently already had one of those. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Just absolutely crazy.
So he was just trying to get even with his old girlfriend.
Maybe so. Saying, hey, I've got an even better car now. Maybe that's the circumstance behind it. I just do not know. So quick sports item here. We mentioned earlier in the show, I'm not sure whether you heard this, UConn announced they are blowing off their entire season. I'm sure this is not surprising to you at all.
Well, other than women's basketball, I mean, who cares? I hate to say it that way, but they're not really relevant in anything. And I know that's mean. I get that's mean, and I don't like seeing any sport go under for any reason. But I mean,
but do you expect this to spread now that they've made this decision? Do you think this is going to spread to other teams, and they're similarly going to decide to blow off the season?
Absolutely, it will. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Sad season we are in, no question about it, among many other things affected by the coronavirus. Our time is up. Have yourselves a great day, and God bless you. Take care.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.